Can a pagan witch win her election? Can black people be conservative? And is the left done with political theater this week? This is episode 7 of another podcast.
Your tears are delicious and your parties die.
I'm telling you, he says what I'm thinking.
That Rothbard libertarian, that Jefferson libertarian, you know I'm not messing libertarians. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and take back the White House.
Welcome back, everyone, to another podcast. Good morning and happy Friday. Today's October 26th. We got 11 days, ladies and gentlemen, until midterm elections. We've talked about this on every single episode. We'll talk about it until midterm elections. Get out there, be involved, get ready, and just try your best to pick the best candidate that you think is going to serve you the best. Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, whatever you are, get out there and be involved. I can't stress it anymore. I feel like I'm like just been repeating myself for the past million days, whatever. Get involved, go out and elect whoever you're trying to elect, push your political movement, and use the system to the best that we can. We have a lot to talk about today, guys. I have a lot to talk about. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of crazy, spooky things going on in the world this week. And of course, you know, with all the stuff that's happening, I've been able to actually sit down with a couple of friends of mine, get the show put together, and have it ready for you guys this morning. So without further ado, I'm not gonna sit around and waste your time. I'm gonna try to get into some of the stories, but actually I do want to waste your time for a quick sec because I forgot. I really didn't forget, kind of waiting to talk about our lovely sponsors over at recuro.com or .org. Man, they're gonna kill me. recuro.org, recuro.org. Go check them out. A liberty loving site with podcasts, articles, videos posting every single day and all throughout the week. Check them out. It's a great site. And they will love to have your support. And if you guys are podcasters or, you know, you write or make video content and it's liberty minded, give us a call. Go to the website, submit your information, submit your content. We would love to look at it, love to listen to it and put it out on our site for a lot of people to see and get a hold. But let's get started. Let's go ahead and dive into the show today. So to start off, which I kind of just want to start off light. You guys know how this show goes. It's the 7th episode. You guys know how this goes. Senior VA official criticized for displaying portrait of KKK's first Grand Wizard. That's right. Reporting from the Hill. Oh yeah, I know. I know that name just rings out Democrat, but still a funny article. Senior official with the Department of Veteran Affairs is facing allegations of racism for hanging a portrait of the Ku Klux Klan's first Grand Wizard in his office, reporting from Tuesday. David J. Thomas Sr. told the Post that he was not aware that the man in the portrait, Nathan Bedford Forrest, was a white supremacist organization first figurehead. And he said that he removed the portrait after the Post reporter explained Forrest's significance. So, guys, what? How does this guy not know this? Huh? Even I know who this guy is. Even I know what he looks like. If you're watching the video version, you should see the photo of the Ku Klux Klan's very first Grand Wizard. This is hilarious. Several of his colleagues, of Mr. Thomas's colleagues, accused him of racism. Three of them have pending racial discrimination charges against him. And apparently this man still has a job, surprisingly. You know, it's kind of hard to get fired. Once you get into those government positions, it's pretty hard to get fired. But it's hilarious. You know, three people have already have pending racial discrimination charges against him. And they've been saying one of the lawyers, John Rigby, who's representing two of the three employees, told the Post that they believe the portrait shows Thomas is hostile towards African Americans. Says you don't hire someone who puts a picture of the Klan in his office unless you're a racist. Thomas has received no complaints from his fellow employees and only learned about these concerns from the Washington Post. Thomas immediately took the picture down in question and moved on and said that the matter is resolved. Now, apparently, this matter is not resolved. Apparently, this case is going to get updated, and they are soon to go and try to go to court and litigate this pretty soon, talking about next month. There was a petition demanding the portrait's removal and had 75 signatures as of Monday before this article, of course, came out. So poor Thomas, he didn't know. He didn't know who this guy was. He thought it was a general from, you know, from the Confederate Army, which I thought it was fun. I thought when I read that, when he thought that's what this was about, that I kind of laughed a little bit. I was like, what? Even that is a little bit jarring. You know, you're going to put that guy in your office. You're working for the Department of Veteran Affairs. I mean, I get it, you know. I get the sentiment, the other side of like, oh, well, you know, this is Veteran Affairs. We like the pictures of all generals in the United States history, which, you know, they are in the United States history. But, you know, you might want to think about looking at, you know, the times that you're in and kind of making sure whatever you kind of picture you're posting on your office, a public spaced office, mind you, that it might not be racist. In other news, Satanic worshiping girls plan to kill classmates and drink their blood. You guys don't see where this is going, all this crazy and scary stuff happening. Florida law enforcement officials said on Wednesday that they foiled a plot by two Satan worshiping middle school girls this week who planned to kill over a dozen smaller children, eat their flesh, and then drink their blood. Yes, that's right. You heard that correct. They planned on killing dozens of smaller children, eat their flesh, then drink their blood. The 6th and 7th grade girls, ages 11 and 12, respectively, were arrested at Bartow Middle School on Tuesday. They brought weapons to the school and admitted to plotting the attack. This is no joke, guys. It's like, this is serious stuff, man. This is serious stuff. I can't even fathom this. When I first read this article and started looking up about it, at first I thought it was like one of those fake articles, you know? You go on Facebook and you look around, you know, you're scrolling through and you see this crap and you think it's like from, you know, Babylon Bee or, you know, The Onion or even Breitbart, maybe one of those websites. And then you see that it's from like, you know, ABC Action News. And then you see it's from Florida News and people are actually legitimately reporting on this. The reporter asked the girls, why were they motivated? The girls reportedly told the police that they were Satan worshippers. And according to the police, they planned to do all this. They planned to drink their victim's blood out of a goblet they found that they had on them. And they also discussed eating their victim's flesh and leaving the bodies, body parts at school, before killing themselves. So not only were they going to kill a whole bunch of kids, in the bathroom, because that's what their plan was. The plan was to wait for these kids, because they wanted to kill at least 15 people, and they were waiting in the bathroom to find smaller kids that they could overpower to be their victims. Because they believed that, you know, smaller kids are easier to attack, obviously. So they planned to do this, and then they planned to kill themselves. This is crazy. Now, I work with kids that are, you know, a little bit on that side of, you know, sporadic emotions. You know, they get really angry really fast sometimes, things of that notion, you know, that happens. But this is something else. This is something else. And wherever this may have came from, whatever their parents are teaching them, I'm sure that, you know, they're like, holy crap, what have we done? And what are they doing? You know, not just with one parent, it's two sets of parents, and these girls are feeding off each other. And now, you know, they set this plan in motion, and, you know, and all this stuff happened. Authorities said they were warned that something bad would happen at the school on Tuesday after a student warned a teacher on Monday that they overheard one of the girls talking about the planned attack. The school then summoned extra police officers to the school to deal with the threat and found the two girls in the bathroom after one of the girls' mothers called the school in response to receiving a robocall alerting her that her daughter was not at school, which triggered a campus-wide search. So thank God for technology and her mother noticing that she wasn't doing her thing. That she wasn't at school. And once the girls were in the principal's office, the girls were told to empty their pockets, which revealed a knife and a knife sharpener. And after that, their bags were searched, and then several weapons, including a pizza cutter and a butcher knife, were found on the girls. The two girls admitted to planning to kill the students as they entered the bathroom. So, you know, a part of me says, you know, there might be a little bit of a mental issue with the girls. Might be a little bit traumatic issues going on with the two girls. And then another part of me says, maybe they're doing this for attention. You know, it seems kind of weird to do this around Halloween. It seems just not just random to be picking this time of year to do this kind of ask, or even to talk about it and then try to go with it. The school released a statement, and says, "I understand that the recent news of the plot to kill students at Bartow Middle School is troubling. In fact, it shook me to my core when I notified of it. However, I want to make it clear that your children are our most precious citizens here in the city, and we do everything we can every single day to make sure our children are safe. We work very closely with the Polk County School Board, and I want to assure you that I will do everything in my power to ensure safety. I am very proud of the staff at Bartow Middle School and my staff at the police department basically stopping this plot." All right, I'm done. That's it. And the last thing of it, they said, "Remember, if you see something, say something. It worked in this incident," which kind of remind me of the whole Man in the High Castle show. I don't know if you guys have seen it before, but go check it out on Prime, Amazon Prime. Man in the High Castle. "Remember, if you see something, say something," which I'm not against it. I'm not against it in this context, but it's just something funny. All right, let's move on to the next story. More dressing up Halloween scary stories. Drag queen Jessica Lahore. Remember, that horror is spelled without an E at the end. It's W-H-O-R. Visits a middle school after backlash school issues a partial apology. So basically, this school district in Colorado has apologized to parents for not notifying them in advance that a drag queen who goes by the name of Jessica Lahore visited the school for career day of all days. The district said that it would not apologize, however, for inviting the drag queen to talk to the middle schoolers, a decision the school made in name of inclusiveness and diversity. Rocky Top Middle School should have notified parents in advance about what they knew would be controversial an event. The visitation of Jessica Lahore, remember, without the E, who dressed up in garb, ended up speaking to four different classes of 6th to 8th graders, reading a book on bullying and answering questions about negativity and hate. So where do I begin on this? I did an episode about, you know, drag, you know, people in drag coming to you know, middle schools and stuff like that. And them doing this whole kind of tour thing of, you know, citing that you can be, you know, kids can be whatever they want to be, and they can do this, they can do that, and, you know, it's all this inclusiveness and diversity, and all that jazz. You know what? I think that's a bunch of garbage. I truly and honestly think it's a bunch of garbage. If you guys haven't seen, public schools are literally a system. It's a system to indoctrinate kids. And once again, we see that this new age of indoctrination includes drag, which is nothing wrong with drag. I'm not going to lie. There are some guys out there who knows how to dress better than women, and they look van freaking tastic, and they know how to do their thing. And I am not ashamed to say that. And they shouldn't be ashamed to go dress in drag, but there's a limit. There's a line. It's public school. You know, this is one of the reasons why public school gets hit on so hard, because of stupid crap like this. You know, if you want to have a kid, you know, or something like that, you know, dress and drag, or you want to teach them that it's okay to dress and drag, I'm all for it. But let's do it at an appropriate time. Let's do it. Maybe let's, you know, do like an event after school, or a event at a library somewhere in town. Let's not put it out for a career day. Let's not say, hey kids, grow up to be a drag queen, because this would be a great career for you. You're gonna make so much money. You're gonna bring so much to society. You know, it's not one of those careers that's like, you know, beneficial. Like, I don't know, like, you know, scientists and, you know, computer scientists and those who are out there making businesses like that, you know, feeds back into the free market. You know, these things are pretty important, but yet we want to bring in a drag queen to tell you, you know, don't bully. Obviously, we don't want our kids to be bullied. Obviously, we don't want our kids to be hating and you know, being super, you know, how can I say it, weird about, you know, drag queens or anything like that. Of course, we don't want that to happen. But to bring a drag queen on career day, having the drag queen talk to sixth, seventh, and eighth graders about not only a career in being a drag queen, but also, you know, negativity and hate and bullying. You know, those are just two different things. Like, why didn't the school do this on a different day? Why don't they do this at a different forum? And let alone, why do they not tell the parents? They obviously they know that this is a big deal. Everyone knows that this is a big deal. This has been literally an article after article, has been plastered on news after news, and even on podcasts, we've continued to talk about it, and this is a huge deal. Let's stop bringing drag queens to our public schools. Let's start bringing people with actual careers that have actual money. Let's start bringing all these liberal arts careers into, you know, career day and showing them at school and tell the kids, like, listen, those degrees, those kind of, you know, jobs, only a few are able to make money from. Only a few are able to dedicate this amount of time and work it takes to, you know, to deal with liberal arts like political science and things like that. Those kind of degrees, those take time, and some people don't make a lot of money from them. But let's bring in actual people who are doing careers, who are making money, who are even working with their hands, not even necessarily going to college, you know, engineers or, you know, mechanics, people like that. Why not get our kids interested in that instead of talking about negativity and hate and bullying, which I'm sure they've talked about? This is just one of those things that we continue to hit on. And I don't get why public schools are doing this. And the only answer is the indoctrination of our kids is continuing, and they're adding another curriculum to them saying, be a drag. It's a career. Have fun. No, if you want to be drag, be drag. That's your own thing, but don't post it online and plant it in front of everybody as this huge ass career or as something that, you know, kids should aspire to be. It's something that kids just grow into. They're kids. They don't even know what they want to do yet. Let them grow up. Let them find out on their own. Let them see, you know, let them go to these things outside of the, you know, education area. Let them grow. And if they see it outside and they're in there and, you know, they find it online or something, they want to do it, let them do it. But let's leave school for actual school. Let's leave it for actual education. Right? That's it. I'm done. But one last thing. Miss Lahore, Jessica Lahore, remember, without the E, says, I knew it was going to be controversial because that was nothing that would be allowed when I was in middle school. And at the same time, it opened up the door for a conversation. I went to 4 classes, and every class, one person asked me how to handle negativity and hate. There were a lot of kids interested in how I could have confidence to go out looking the way I look. Lahore dresses like a woman professional. Okay, whatever. So that was her comment. She already knew it's going to be controversial. I know she wanted to be, or he wanted to be, whatever you want to call her. And that just pisses me off even more. So it's less about educating kids and more about drag queens using this as a stand to get more money or as a stand to become more known. And that's what makes me mad. Like, make a convention or get some postcards out, you know, the teachers, the exec board who agree to this, send it out to the parents, tell them we're having some kind of convention at some library or something, but leave school to school, bring actual careers that's going to make these kids money, and that's going to profit for their lives, and leave the liberal arts to those in college and stuff like that, that has the time and the sweat to put effort into it, and stuff like that. Not saying there's no effort in, you know, doing labor jobs or anything like that, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, you're going to go broke for a while. Trust me. You're gonna go broke for a while. In other stories, West Virginia Democratic candidate was a pagan witchcraft cult leader. Watch out. A Democratic candidate in West Virginia was an active leader in pagan witchcraft for years and instructed others. So Lisa Lucas wrote two books, and Lisa Lucas is the person who's running the Democratic candidate, and they're making fun of her. They're seriously making fun of her and calling this lady, you know, all kinds of names. She says she wrote two books, occult practices, including how to cast spells and a whole bunch of other things. And, you know, her campaign has raised more than five times as much money as her Republican opponent, thanks to part of the national attention. And the left has apparently left out that she is this witchcrafter. Now, this is funny to me, because the right is totally on her. They're totally making fun of her. They're trying to get this out. Like, why would you want this pagan witch to be your representative? Why would I want a Bible thumping Republican to be my leader? They're doing literally the same thing. She believes in something else, witchcraft or whatever. You believe in something else, which you call the Bible or Christianity. What the hell is the difference? You guys both believe in something that no one can see, that has nothing to do with actually leading people in your community and making sure they're on a fair plane. But yet, you guys want to talk about this, Laryl, and you're talking about, she's talking about spelling, you know, freaking casting spells. And then on the right, you talk about, here's my prayer. I hope I pray, and God's going to deliver. God is going to make sure we do this. What is the freaking difference? What is the difference? She's, just to get a little background, she's a member of the Third Circle of Tradition of Universal Electric Wicca. I don't know what the heck that is. I knew a friend that was involved in Wicca, but I never dived in it. And apparently she also teaches and coordinates its First Circle degree, Viva the Coven of the Far-Flung Net. She's been a member for years and has studied chaos and other magical techniques privately, as well as small society studies called the Order of the Golden Breath, and on and on and on. So she's in it, right? She's involved with this kind of pagan spell casting crap that she likes to do and that she believes in. So why hop on her case about it? It's not like she's cutting kids up in the bathroom. It's not like she's trying to go out and spell cast on people in public. She's not sitting there waving her wand and doing a whole bunch of Harry Potter crap. I mean, who cares? Who cares? Honestly, I mean, even though, you know, I disagree with her, of course, politically, because she's a Democrat. And if you go to her website, she has plenty of things that I disagree with on her site. But nonetheless, this is what the right pulls out of their ass at the very end, getting closer and closer to election time. Oh, did you guys know? She's a paganist. She's a witch. She casts spells. Okay, all right, Jesus. All right, go fucking pray for me or something. go over there and pray. Go help me. Go open your Bible in scripture and let me know what happens, and tell me if you're not casting spells over there while you're chanting in church. Whatever, you know, maybe I'm wrong to say that. Maybe I'm a horrible person, and I'm sure I'm going to get a whole bunch of comments. But listen, it's the same stupid thing. One believes in something and you believe in something else. None of it's really real. There's no real way to test to see if all this, if your belief is true. Get over yourself. If that's what you want to believe, believe it. Have fun. Stop trying to make fun of her and let her run her dang campaign. Because the polls tells me, looks like she has a little bit of a chance of winning. So you might just have a witch inside, inside your legislature. So you might want to watch out. She might try to throw a thunderbolt at you. You might want to pray. Anyway, Republicans are outpacing Democrats in early voting in a lot of key states. Now, this is awesome. This is awesome slash bad slash maybe a little confused, because honestly, I really don't want the blue wave. I don't care for a lot of Democrats, even though I am voting for one, but I don't care for most of the Democrats that are running this year. And I don't really care for a lot of Republicans, but would I rather have Republicans in office than Democrats? Depends. And in most cases, yes. It's like I said, it's a confusing moment, because would we really want, as someone who wants to see the Libertarian Party grow and that leans more towards the Libertarian Party, would I want to side more, see Democrats in power and work with Democrats more than what I would work with Republicans? Because Democrats, once they get in power, it's all feeding government. And so does Republicans. But at least with Republicans, Libertarians can work a little bit better with them. But That's just my view. A lot of people are probably like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. No, I mean, honestly, I'd rather work with, you know, conservatives, you know, maybe leaning more towards, you know, closer down towards libertarian and all that stuff, small elk stuff. You know, that's what I agree. So when I see that Republican affiliated voters have outpaced Democrat affiliated voters in early voting is awesome. And they have done this in seven states. They have kicked butt. You know, and the data is showing from Target Smart and independently, it's an independent analytic kind of company who does polling and stuff like that for huge networks like NBC, is showing that Republicans are really, really kicking butt. And usually, they do really, really well in, like, you know, absentee voting and stuff like that. And Democrats usually do well in in-person voting, but instead Republicans are taking both an absentee and an in-person voting. They are literally kicking ass. They are taking names and kicking ass. And now everyone is going to be really looking at these key races, because people keep saying that the House is going to flip, which I don't think the House will flip. I am on the side that the House will likely stay a Republican. I think it will get really close, but I don't think it's going to flip completely. And a lot of people are saying the Senate is definitely not going to flip. And I don't think the Senate's going to flip either. I think it's going to stay majority Republican. But I'm happy to see that people are getting out to vote. And I'm happy to see that Republicans are trying to push. But the thing is with Republicans that I dislike is this rhetoric that, you know, the blue, that if Democrats win, it's going to be, you know, the end of the world. I think it's going to be much of the same. Rather, regardless if Republicans win, I think it's going to be much the same. If Democrats win, I don't think there's going to be that much change, whichever party wins, because they're pretty much the same. But it just depends on from what angle you look at. Would you rather work with Democrats as a third party, or would you rather work with Republicans as a third party? And in many states, we find Republicans that are lean more towards the Libertarian Party because they know that their party is corrupt. They know their party is nothing fiscal about them, nothing conservative about them, nothing liberty about them. And they know that maybe, you know, they have this in their back pocket. Hey, let's throw some bones at the Libertarian Party. Let's throw some bones at some liberty-minded candidates and hope that they, you know, support us in the future. And I kind of like those bones because I want to take those bones and bash against their heads and take over and get, you know, more independent, libertarian, liberty-minded candidates into office. But we have to play the game. We have to play the game. And this is a good sign. This is a really good sign. You know, maybe in a year, maybe in 2020, we can start gaining ourselves, putting ourselves in a better position, you know, party-wise and election-wise, and showing people like, hey, we see that you like the GOP, but the GOP is only feeding you crap. They're only saying these things. They're only saying certain things, certain liberty-minded things to get your vote. And then they go in and they do nothing. Why don't you give the reins to somebody who actually cares about liberty, who actually wants to push the liberty movement and actually want to do something about the corrupt government, the crazy laws, the taking away of your liberty, and all these other crappy things that Republicans do just as much as Democrats. And like I said at the beginning of this, I rather work with Republicans any day than working with Democrats any day of the week. And I think this outpaces that Republicans are showing shows that at least voters are somewhat liberty minded. You know, they're hearing from the GOP that they want, that their liberties are being trampled on, that, you know, the government is becoming overreaching, but they also see that, you know, if they don't vote red, they're going to see that they're overreaching. The government's overreaching. Democrats just want to get more stuff. They just want to, you know, tax more people. So hopefully this is a good sign, that people are seeing or hearing what the GOP is saying, and then they'll start noticing what the GOP is doing, and hopefully we can start pulling more people in. We can start pulling more people into the Libertarian Party, pulling more people into the actual liberty side of candidates who want to, you know, bring the government back. Take away laws and, you know, lower taxes, you know, bring liberty minded policies to America, you know, and be better for America and the world. So we'll see. This is we're playing the long game here, and we're trying to fill out what we can, and we're fighting as much and as hard as we can. When we get back from the break, we've got a lot of things to talk about, especially all these lovely bombs and political theater going around. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about some black conservatives and whether or not black folks should be conservative. Stay tuned. I'll see you after the break. Hey there, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Another Podcast, which is brought to you by the Recurro Initiative, challenging the groupthink of the duopoly. This liberty-minded website brings you podcasts, videos, and articles alike. And if you are a liberty-loving fan, submit your podcasts, videos, or articles today at recurro.org. That's recurro.org.
Welcome back,
everybody, to the second half of the show. Oh, the second half of the show. You know, like when you got that last 30 minutes of work and you're just trying to knock out as much as you can and as much time so you don't go over that clock, so you won't get written up, you know? You just make that quota. That's how I feel sometimes in the show. I'm like, I got this good stuff. Let's get through it. Let's get it recorded and let's get it out there. Let's get it shared. Let's get it done. But welcome back. Enough ranting. Welcome back to the next half of the show. So, you guys already know, because you have seen all of the great memes and all the great pictures all around about the lovely bomb situation that is happening, the lovely political theater that the Democrats are playing. Literally, the Democrats are trying to cause some kind of theatrical political stunt before the midterm elections. I have to say, it is one of the most hilarious things that I have seen in a very, very, very long time. But before we start, I have this video for you that John Kasich, you know, Governor John Kasich from Ohio, that guy who ran for president and lost against Trump, but who I thought was a pretty good contender during that whole, you know, presidential election, all that jazz. But here's a quick video for you guys. Him talking about, you know, the recent political theater and the bombs and all that stuff. Just to kind of, you know, things that he thinks is going on, which I really want you guys to listen. So just take a listen, or if you're watching the video version, of course, take a look at the video.
You know, I didn't endorse Donald Trump and, in fact, didn't vote for him for president, as you know. And I was always concerned that was hopeful that perhaps he could get to the point where he could unite the country. I've now become convinced, absent a Damascus Road experience, I've become convinced that he's not capable of this. He is not capable of being a unifier. In fact, I've become convinced that he doesn't know how to accept personal responsibility and always finds somebody else to blame. Now, I don't want this to be construed as a personal attack. It's an observation that I make. And so, do I think it matters if the President of the United States, and originally last night, I praised him for being conciliatory early on when I did a television interview last night, only to find out, after that there was an attack on the media, calling the media the enemy of the people. Now, here's the thing. I think all three of us here, know that when you get into a place and the crowd gets revved up, there's always somebody on the edge that might do something very stupid. And we are now have a heightened sense of threats and panic and the caravan's coming and they're going to be in your home and all this stuff. And you rev people up. And what happens? Somebody out there who's who's unstable does something crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we're...
All right. So basically what he's talking about is this whole thing, because Donald Trump is, come on, let's be serious. You know, no matter if I like Donald Trump or not, he's a very decisive person. He's not a unifier at all, which I can agree with the governor 110%. He is not a unifier. He is very decisive. He is very, I'm going to attack you. I am going to belittle you the best I can, when I can, no matter what situation. And then he'll go on the forefront and say, well, you know, we don't want any of this to happen. Obviously, we don't want any politician or anybody to get hurt, but you're still a lying little bitch. So, you know, forget you. You know, that's the kind of mood Donald Trump sets as a president. And I think Governor Kasich has a point. You know, and it's a very well observation. He does not unify people, and he does not care to unify people, and he won't care. He only cares about his base. He only cares about winning, and that's just how he is. That's who Donald Trump is. And this whole thing, this whole video, and why John Kasich's on CNN sparks because of the whole suspicious packages of bombs and stuff that's been delivered to all these Democratic leaders. Now, me personally, I think it's a sham. I mean, and I'm sure Kasich thinks it's also a sham. I mean, come on, guys, be honest, be completely honest. Do you really think someone who wants to blow up all these leaders, do you really think they go out to their mailbox? Do you really think they go out and get their own mail? What kind of bomber would be like, yeah, I'm going to put this bomb in the mailbox of all these people? Oh, hey, what about the security footage? You're also telling me that all these people who received bomb threats, President Obama, Clinton, Biden, Robert De Niro, for God's sake, all these other people who are these political icons, you think that they don't have cameras on their houses, in the front of their houses. You think they don't know who would have put a bomb in their mailbox. That's just one half of it. But what about the second half? What about the second half? What about the postage on the bombs? Have you guys seen those pictures? Have you guys looked at the envelope? It has like 3 stamps, and that bomb weighs more than like 0.13 or however much. It doesn't even have the correct amount of stamps on it. It doesn't even have the official posting stamp on it, for God's sake. It has no official posting stamp on it. What? And look how the address is labeled, right? From where it's from, you know? Just look at the package and tell me that's not fake. Tell me that's not fake. Anyone that works in the postal service, look at those pictures and tell me if that's what you get when you are loading and when you're loading and unloading whatever mail at the processing centers. Please tell me if you think that that is an actual piece of mail that would have got approved through the mail and put in. But no. I'm sorry. It's a coordinated attack, right? I'm sorry, these people must have just stuck it in the bomb box, threw some stamps on it, you know, put some tape on it from a from and to address, put it in there, and that's what happened across all of the United States, pretty much. In different states, this is all coordinated in one morning and, of course, stopped by the Secret Service, right? Right? This is what we're to believe. And you're telling me that within these hours that they don't have a culprit. You're telling me they don't have video evidence of this huge situation. Is that what you're saying? The government, literally the people who spy on you don't have information on what's going on and who did this. Oh, but they tracked it back to, you know, Debbie Swanson. Oh man, look at that. You guys hear that? We figured out that, you know, Debbie Schultz, whatever her name, the Democratic representative, you know, look at that, former chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Oh, look at that. It's tracked back to her address. Something's going on. We're getting to the bottom of it, everyone. Don't worry. Guys, come on. Let's get it through our thick skulls. This is a political theater. And I'm not saying that Republicans don't do stuff like this all the time. I mean, look at Trump and this migration thing. He is literally piling this up to make his base scared and to vote red. So I'm not saying that it's just the Democrats who does this political theater, but this is getting ridiculous. This is getting out of hand. This is just playful. This is childish. You know, if you want to win in the arena of political ideas, if you really want to win in the arena of political ideas, then do it by convincing people, not by scaring them, not by doing this crap. Because of course the left says, whoa, do you see the similarities, man? Bro, tell me why it's to all Democratic leaders. Why would someone in the Democratic Party or on the left want to bomb our Democratic leaders? And not only are they bombing Democratic leaders, it's some of our most valued Democratic leader, including a president. Come on! People, wake up! Left and right, wake up! This is crazy. I shouldn't even have to talk about it. We shouldn't even be talking about this. We should be talking more about the ideas. We should be talking more about the policies. We should be focusing on more on what both sides are trying to do and what they're trying to push, and less about the political theater that they're giving us in our face on the CNN and Fox News and everything else. Guys, wake up. I'm telling you, this is ridiculous. And it, you know, and I'm upset about it because I'm tired of seeing political theater. I'd rather see debate. I'd rather see civil debate. I'd rather see discussion. I'm tired of the name calling. I'm tired of the, you know, the scratch and punch and all the little things on Twitter and the Twitter fights and all that crap and the, you know, I want to find out if I'm an Indian or not, you know, all that crap. Debate it out. Show the populace what you have. What do you have to offer? How are you going to do it? And do the voters agree with it? In there, go home, have dinner with your family, drink a beer, and go away. That's all you got to do. That's all. I'm done. Trump invites young black conservatives to the White House today. And hundreds of young black conservative leaders are to go to the White House today to hear him speak. The president will address the attendees of the first ever Young Black Leadership Summit being put on by conservative group, student group, Turning Point USA. Now, if you guys don't know who Turning Point USA is, ran by Charlie Kirk, it's a really good group. I'm not going to lie. I like Turning Point USA, even though they have supported some Liberty candidates in the past. But, you know, Turning Point USA is one of those organizations that, you know, they're helpful in a bit, but they're mainly for Republicans. They're mainly for the new, modern, young conservative movement. But anyway, this forum that's coming up, it's a day worth of programming in the Eisenhower office building for young conservative leaders. And they're all going to talk about, you know, about all the things that are happening, right? And how Trump has been angling the black voters since he's been trying to get elected and trying to get them to come off the plantation, bro, as some people would say. But one of the things that really, 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 really made me mad, not really make me bad, but it kind of made me a little bit defensive, is Candace Owens. Now, if you guys don't know who Candace Owens, she joined Charlie with the group, and I think she's their media director, and she's been pushing this group and kind of trying to, you know, show blacks that they don't have to be conservative, or they don't have to be on the Democratic Party and whatnot. But my thing with Candace Owens and you know, Turning Point is one of the things that she said when she first, you know, joined Charlie and met Charlie, she said one of the first things he asked me, what do you want to do? And I said, really, in plain words, she said, I like to lead the black revolution against the Democratic Party. That's what she told them, right? And this kind of stopped me, and this kind of made me think a little bit, right? Because I mean, I'm okay with this summit. I'm glad. I'm ecstatic to see black people move away from the Democratic Party. I'm ecstatic to see black folks think differently and not be chained down to the crappiness of the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party does nothing but treat blacks like, you know, just little tiny voters. They don't really care. They'll speak our language for an election cycle, and they will do nothing for our inner cities. They do nothing for our businesses. They do nothing for our homes. They care nothing about us. They will listen to our little music, the music that black people make. They will make a little bit of fun of us. They'll joke, and they do absolutely nothing. But Candace Owens, she thinks the Republican Party will do the same. Granted, I will admit, as I'm sure she would say if she was speaking to me, Republicans have done a lot more for black people, which I completely agree. But I still don't think black folks should be a part of the Republican Party. I personally think that Republicans and Democrats are the same. They want our vote because we're minorities, and we're the largest minority group, right? We're the largest minority group who has, you know, the most outcry because, you know, slavery and all the other things, laws that's pressed against the black community. So they, Democrats and Republicans want the same thing, right? They want our vote. They want to get us on their side because whoever has the black vote will most likely tip the election and win. But honestly, the Republican and Democrats are very much the same. They want to use us. They want to say they want to help us, but they want to use us. And in my personal view, the only way, the only true and honest way that I think black, you know, the community should go is more towards liberty-minded parties like the Libertarian Party, or even just be independent, you know? Like, I feel like Republicans and Democrats continue to push black people in these groups, and then they use these groups. You know, you have these liberal blacks who are used to, you know, who are used to voting for the Democratic Party. Then you have the ones who are off the plantation, right? But what about those who just don't care, who just want to live their lives, who just want to make their businesses, who just want to make their homes better? Those parties are not going to do that for you. They don't care about the individual. They care about putting us in a group. They care about seeing us place into a margin that they can use to win and push their policies, versus a party who wants to promote you, who wants to say you're an individual, you take life by your own hands and you do it. We give you the fair game and you do what you can to make it, right? You make your own business, you rebuild your own neighborhoods, you put into it what you got. And that's what black people should want. We should stop wanting to be in these parties and expect these things to happen, good things for us to happen. We should want to take it in our own hands and build it ourselves. We should say, no thank you, Democrats. No thank you, Republicans. Put us all, everybody, blacks, Mexicans, everybody, on a fair and straight line and let us compete. Let us compete. Stop using us as some kind of ticket or some kind of token because of our skin color. Let it be fair. Let us compete. Let us rebuild our own neighborhoods. Let us police ourselves and do what we need to do. And what I mean by that simply is stop treating us like we need to hold your hand, because we don't need people to hold our hand. We need people to be fair and straight with us and allow us to compete fairly. That's what the black community should be striving for. Because when we start focusing on us as individuals, and when we start focusing our mind on what we can do and stop being held back by the Democrats and held back by the Republicans, I guarantee that things will turn out a lot better. And I think that is the most important thing for black voters to be thinking about, is themselves and their community. It's thinking about the individual and not being marginalized and placed into a group. And once that starts, that's when things will really, really start to shake up. And I am excited for that day, because it's coming. Because blacks will know, once they give their vote to the Republicans and nothing happens, they'll remember it. And they'll say, we're not going to do it again. But that's just my thoughts about this whole thing with Donald Trump and this conservative, black conservative things. Just listen, guys, just know that it's not something that you should be excited for, and not something that you should be extremely, you know, just ready to give your vote to the Republican Party. They're the same thing. And I will continue to harp on how much it is the same, and how much the same, you'll get the same result with the party. One last article to finish up the show, about some marijuana, and of course, Detroit and the NAACP. The NAACP, oh my God, the NAACP urges no vote on legal marijuana as the campaign makes the final push. And I wanted to talk about this last because I have a couple family members in Detroit, and I have a couple good friends out there, and they kind of asked me to kind of talk about it and what my thoughts on it on Proposition 1. Basically, Proposition 1 in Detroit will legalize recreational marijuana. Now, with only 11 days to go until the midterm election, the opposition proposal one has started its final campaign push. So we're seeing a flood of ads come into Detroit. We're seeing a flood of people opposed, and a flood of people that wants to, you know, get this stuff taken care of. But Prop 1, basically what it supports and what they're laying out is that it supports people being able to advertise it, people over 21 to be able to legally buy it. And basically, you know, make it legal to bring in tax revenue, and things like that. But a lot of people say that this very issue is harming the neighborhoods and killing families. The deputy director of Detroit branch of the NAACP at a press conference said on Tuesday that this is not a healthy and productive way to bring back money to our communities. And they said that this also can lead to more arrest, higher arrest if people are high, especially when it comes to driving, and other situations, whether it's being intoxicated in public and so forth. And both sides are debating this. Both sides are really taking a look at what is going on and if this proposition should go through. And I'm on the side of yes, absolutely, it should go through. But they keep telling young people how bad and dangerous this drug is. But yet they're okay with alcohol. They're okay with shoving alcohol in your face. They're okay with, you know, doing advertisements and, you know, of beverages in stores and celebrations with alcohol. That's okay. The drink that literally kills thousands and thousands of people in vehicles every year. Things that, you know, a drink that kills people, you know, damages their bodies. People get addicted. Yeah, that thing. That thing is something they're okay with. That's all right for health. But to bring weed in, it's only going to hurt the community. It's only going to dissolve and destroy the community. Don't forget, though, if you do legalize it, it's estimated to bring in $287.9 million to the industry, to Detroit, sorry. $287.9 million in revenue could come, estimated in tax revenue could come in to the city. Now, granted, you know, it's mainly really Democrats there, so probably not going to be used very well, and let alone it's probably too much money, honestly, to be taxed. And one of the things that really kind of made me upset, that kind of made me thinking, one of the opposition groups that's actually against it, called the Smart Approach for Marijuana, SAM, it's a national nonprofit that is bankrolling the entire opposition campaign in Michigan, has wasted no time to say that this is going to be a huge racial disparity. It's going to be crazy because, you know, if you want a rich white guy to sell pot gummy bears in your community, you should vote for this initiative. And if not, you shouldn't. Because they say it because now after they say that it's bad and it's bad for your health, you shouldn't do it. And then they get hit by the whole alcohol, you know, the kind of alcohol debate. And they say, whoa, what about the white guy? What about the white guy in Colorado or in Canada, whatever, that's making a business here, making a profit off of all that weed that's being brought to this store? You know, it's the white people who are making money. Why can't a black person not make money off of this? Shit, they're probably selling it now. How are they not going to be able to make a profit of it? How? Tell me. Let me know. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. White privilege. That's right. White privilege is why black folks can't start their own marijuana business if they wanted to. I'm sorry. But this is the kind of stuff that they push. You know, they use anything and everything to try to shut marijuana down. And I think it's sad. I think it's a sad thing. And if the culture wants to smoke marijuana, let them smoke marijuana. Who are you to tell them no? You know, you're just locking them up. You're just ruining people's lives over a plant. That's what you're doing, right? And it's funny too. And it was like after the opposition, after he says all this about, you know, the whole white people can only sell weed, they're the top people in the industry. He says that, well, maybe if we can just maybe make it, you know, illegal to not go to jail, maybe take away some of the offenses of pot, maybe we'll be okay. So take away the offenses of a pot, but still make pot illegal, and still get them to have a fine and put that on their record. That's okay. That part's okay, because it's not like people look at your record and see that you have a fine of cannabis. Like, they won't be biased in America now. Get the hell out of here. Just freaking vote on Prop 1, folks. Get out there and vote on it, and go ahead and pass this and show these idiots that there's nothing wrong with pot. If you want to smoke pot, smoke pot. Okay? Have fun. Just don't hurt people. Don't go out and drive and kill people. Not saying that we have any actual related incidents or data matching pot with car incidents. Just saying, everyone. We haven't had those. I mean, there's no data showing that. The recreational pot has been used and has killed many people, like some other things that are illegal, but that's okay. I digress. Go out and vote and show them wrong and stop. Don't listen to these folks who's going to use anything, whether it's health and racial divide over pot. All right, come back and talk to me when it's like crack cocaine or something. Then maybe we'll agree that we shouldn't do some of that stuff. But for pot? Come on. But anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in this week. I love doing the two episodes a week. I love being involved and talking with you guys. I've gotten a lot of message, a lot of good things, a lot of good tips. As I say every single episode, I want to hear from you guys. Send me a message. Shoot me an email. Follow me at ShawDog21 or go look at my page on Facebook, Another Podcast, or even go to my official sponsor's website, recuro.org, recuro.org. Go to that website. You can find me there. You can connect with me. We can talk about the issues, or you can tell me how much you hate the show or how much you love it. I would love to hear from you. But until Monday, until next week, enjoy your weekend. If you got to work, then enjoy your work. Enjoy what you're doing. Love life. I will see you guys next week.